Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. Surely we are needy people today, Lord. We need you today in our lives more than we ever have, Lord, this world we live in. Father, we ask you, Lord, to be with these requests that have been called out today, these that are sick, these that are in pain, these that need to go to the doctors or whatever they need to do. One in the hospital, Ms. Jones, I pray for her. I pray for Ms. Barham, I pray for Sister Hassel's family. Lord, lift these people up to you, Lord, today, and ask you to help them. Be with our pastor, Ms. Ennis. Lord, there's probably not a person in this room today that doesn't have a special need in their life. Something's on their heart, something's on their mind. And God, we lift these up to you today as a body of believers together, trusting you, dear God, to provide every need that we have in our life and help these, Lord, that are sick to be better. Bless now your word, Lord, as we read it together. We thank you for the opportunity to be together today and ask you now just to encourage us through your word as we read it together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Ephesians chapter 2 today. There's Betty and Sam. God bless you, Sam. Good to see you, brother. And back from the knee replacement there. And, thank God for that. Ephesians chapter number 2 today. Today, as we look at ourselves and think about where we are and what's going on in our life, sometimes we need to recount. Sometimes we need to remember where we come from. Where we come from. You know, I'm often reminded that God does things for me that I'm unaware of. And I need to, the things that I am aware of, I need to remember and I need to thank Him for them, everything He does for me. And today we're going to reflect back and where we come from, what God's done for us, what God wants to continue to do for us in this passage of Scripture. Paul is writing here to the church at Ephesus. He's writing here to encourage them. We know that this was a big town, big place, probably 350,000 people at that time in Paul's life. Of course, they worshiped the goddess there, Diana, and all kinds of things were going on in that place like it is in the world today. And they needed God's man, they needed God's word. God used Paul to present the word to them and to remind them. And I want us to look today in Ephesians chapter 2, very familiar verses, very familiar text, all of us. But I want us to know some things here. As Paul here, he pictures the church to us. First of all, in chapter 1 as a body. In chapter 2, he pictures it as a temple. A temple. Throughout the whole book, he talks about the church as a mystery, as a new creation, and as obedient children. Today we're going to look at chapter 2, which he speaks about the church like unto a temple. Like unto a temple. We're going to ask ourselves we're going to look at five different things here in this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 today. First of all, what we once were. What we once were. When we think about where we were and what we used to be in our life, I think we can be more mindful of what God's grace has done for us. Amen? What we once were in our lives. We're going to look about what God did. Even though we were what we were, what God did. And then we're going to look at why God did it. Why did God do what He did for us? And then we're going to look at today also what we are now. What we are now. And then last we're going to look at, we see what God has done for us. Why He did it. Why He did it. So let's look first of all in verses 1 of Ephesians chapter 2 as we look at the past. As a lost person, let's look at ourselves. Now, I think sometimes it's needful to do this because when we are out trying to witness to people and talk to people, and we realize that this person may be lost, we need to recognize his condition and realize that, hey, one day I was in the same situation. I was just like this individual. And if I can be more considerate in trying to talk to this person and try to understand this person, when I realize his condition was the same as mine one time. I was just like him. I needed help. And the world today needs help. People do. We all need help. Saved or lost, we all need help. Amen? Amen. In this world in which we live. But we see here in this passage of Scripture what we once were. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now, who is the you? The you here, we find in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the who? Saints." He's writing to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So we see here, Paul is writing to Christian people. He's writing to us. He says, "And you, Christians, hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." So we see, first of all, what we once were. We were dead in our sin. That means simply we did not know we were in our sin. We were going about and doing sinful things, not understanding, not recognizing what we were really doing. We were dead. We were not alive. We were just living for the flesh, doing what the flesh desired us to do, wanted us to do. Therefore, we were walking literally like dead men around, doing things that were sinful and ungodly. We were dead in our sins. And of course, we realize this means dead spiritually also in our sins. We were not, have no spiritual concept at all of what God was or what God is and nothing about it. So we see, first of all, what we once were, we were dead in sin. I thank God today to know that when I sin, when I do something wrong in my life today as a Christian, I have someone living within me to nudge me, to quench me, to advise me, "Hey, you done wrong." The Holy Spirit, He lives within me, you know? And I still do wrong. We all still do wrong. But I'm thankful today to know that I'm not dead in sin no more because of what Christ has done for me. I once was dead, but now I'm not dead in sin. God has made me aware of my sins by Him living within us, by His Holy Spirit. Notice also what we once were in verse number 2. "For in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." I once was influenced by Satan. It's an amazing thing how before I got saved, I was influenced by Satan and wasn't even aware of it. I wasn't even aware of it. I didn't think about it. I wasn't aware that he was leading me down a road that was going to be destructive if I didn't get off of it. You see, I wasn't even thinking that way. But I used to be influenced by Satan. Now, I know today that Satan tries to do everything he can to God's children today. I'm thankful for one thing. He can't destroy us. He can't hurt us unless God gives him permission. I also realize, too, today that he can't influence me, but he can't cause me to be lost. He can influence my life and my thinking if I'm not careful. But I'm thankful today to know that I'm not influenced by Satan anymore because I have God's Spirit within me to help me to override that, I have help. I think sometimes that I am not conscious of the fact of the working of the Spirit in my life every day. Every day He helps me in so many ways, you see, to do the right thing, you see, to realize what I ought to do and all this. But see, what we once were, we were dead in sin, and we were influenced by Satan, Notice again, verse number 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, how? In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind." We see in the past, we were controlled by our lust. That is, we were controlled by the flesh. The flesh, man, the flesh will get you in trouble, won't it? The flesh will, if you're not careful, lead you down a path, a road you should not be down. So the lust is someone the flesh that we have, is our enemy, So we need to recognize today that we once were controlled by lust. Controlled by lust, our life. We live for the things that please the flesh at once before we were saved as lost people. Lost people do that. Lost people are dead in sin. They don't recognize sin. Lost people are influenced by Satan. They don't understand that. Lost people today are controlled by lust. They live for things in the world, things that are here in the world that pleases the flesh. And we also see in the last part of that verse number 3, what we once were, and were by the nature the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, we were if you please, under God's wrath and not even aware of it. Not even aware of it. And the sad thing today, lost people in the world today are under the wrath of God, and they can't see it, they can't understand it, they can't recognize it. Except the Spirit of God revealed to them who they are, just like He did us, who we were. What we once were. We were dead in sin. We were influenced by Satan. We were controlled by lust. And we were literally under the wrath of God. The wrath of God. We also see verse number 11. Go down to verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. We see we're pagans without God, literally. We were without God, without hope in our life. That's what we once were. Notice also, verse number 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. We see here he's talking about we were separated from God. Separated from God. It's amazing how a man in this world, born, can live here in this life, in the flesh, and be separated from God. Separated from God. Not knowing God. Not having anything to want to do with God. But God allows people to live. God gives us breath to breathe to live, does He not? Everybody. But a person that's lost can be living and really not even recognize they are separated from God. God gives them breath to live, but the rest of their life is completely separated from God. They have nothing to do with God. That's what we were, folks, before we got saved. We're talking about lost people, okay? That's what we were in the past. Thank God the past is gone. Well, thank God, you know, we recognize who we are today in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see here, we used to be separated from Christ. Separated from God, you see. Notice also, by being separated, in the last part of that verse, number 2, having no hope and without God in the world. No hope. Lost people, folks, listen, they have no hope. They have no hope whatsoever. When they die, they're going to go to the lake of fire finally and spend eternity there. They have no hope in this world. They have no hope in the eternity, you see. Lost people are in a sad situation. I used to be there. You used to be there. What we once were, folks, we were lost, undone, without a Savior, separated from God. You see, we were literally under the wrath of God. We were dead in our sin and influenced by Satan and controlled by lust. What a sad state to be in, folks. What a sad state for us to be in. And what a sad state for the people in the world today to be in. But listen, only by the grace of God can a person be delivered from all that kind of stuff. Only by God's grace. He saves us, you see. So we see what we once were as lost people in this world. Thank God we're not lost now, amen? We're not lost today. And it's all because of the grace of God, you see. Without hope in this present world. Today we have hope. We don't have hope in this world, but we have hope away from this world. You know, a place we're going to be one day with the Lord forever and throughout eternity. And that day's coming, I'll be very soon. Very soon, you see. We're seeing them go out. People go out one at a time. Last week, Miss Batten went to be the Lord. What a glorious reunion that was for her. Suffering all these years. All she's gone through physically. But now she's rejoicing. She's rejoicing. That's a blessed hope, folks, that we have. No matter what you're suffering today in your body, your mind, your soul, one day you're going to be delivered from that. Amen. I'm going to be delivered from that. And it's all because of God's grace, you see. So we're seeing, well, first of all, what we once were. Now let's look at what did God do? What God did? We see today, as lost people all over the world, God has done what He can do for lost mankind. He's done it. What did He do? Notice, if you will, please, in verse number 4. The Bible says, but God. I like that, don't you? But God. Recognizing who we were in the past, but God. And listen, only God, folks. But God, only God. But God, the Bible says, who is rich in mercy. Thank God for His mercy, folks. For His great love wherewith He loved us. What did God do? We were dead in sin. We were lost, undone. All those things we talked about. What did God do? First of all, He loved us. He loved us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, but God commended His love towards us. And while we were yet what? Sinners, Christ died for us. We see first of all here what God did. Understanding who we were, understanding that we were lost people, people didn't want anything to do with Him, separated from Him. What did God do? He loved us. He loved us in spite of us. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There's not a person in the world today or tomorrow or last week, last year, from eternity past to eternity in the future, that God doesn't love. He loves everybody. But God loves us. But God loves us even though we were lost. God loves us, loved us. Notice also, look at verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sins. When we were dead in sins, God loved us, did He not? Even when we were dead in sins, He what? Quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Quickened means to make alive. He liberated us from sin. He freed us from sin. He freed us from sin by putting our faith and our trust in Him. That's what God did. He loved us. He has liberated us from the bondage of sin. You see, and made us together. We see here in verse number 5, and quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Thank God today for the power of God, what God did for mankind. What God did for me, what He did for you, folks. He's quickened us. He's quickened us. And let's know, look at verse number 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has lifted us up. He's lifted us up. I like that song, Love Lifted Me, don't you? Love lifted me. That's a wonderful song. When nothing else can help, love lifted me. God has lifted us up, folks. As lost people, He loved us. He has freed us. He has lifted us up. He's loved us. He's loved us, picked us up, and literally put us in His arms and loved us. Loved us. God, what we were one time, and today what God did, what God has did for us, He loved us. You know what? God loved us when we were lost and undone. And God still loves us today as His children. He loves us. No matter what we're facing in life, what we're going through, we can get alone in a closet somewhere, take God's word out and begin to read about God, how much He loves us, and it's encouraging, isn't it? Nobody else might not love us. The world don't love us, I know that. But I know one thing, God loves us. He loves us. He loves us in spite of us, even today as His children. Knowing what we do as His children, we still sin, we come short of the glory of God every day in our life, and yet He still loves us. Yes, we see what we once were. We see what God did. And now we see why God did it. Why did God do that? Why did God see us as lost sinners, undone, separated from Him, dead in sin, all these things? He loved us. We see, first of all, what He did. But why did He do it? Why did He do it? Look at verse number 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. See, God just don't look at the day. He looks at the future. He looks down the road. He knows in the past, He knows in the future as far as He can go. And God had made a plan that in the future, my children, people that they trust me as their Savior, they're going to be trophies of grace for me. They're going to be examples of what I've done for them. I love them. I saved them. And they're going to be people that's going to share that grace and that love with other people they come in contact with. See, God has saved you and God has saved me for a purpose, folks. It's not just to go to heaven. He saved us to share the good news with other people. He saved us to show that grace in our lives that other people might see God in us and God's love in us, you see, as we go through every day in our life, you see. So we see that He did this to show that He might display us as His children and the trophies of His grace. What He's done for us. What He's done for you. What He's done for me. He saved us. And we're to be trophies. We're to be a light. God's children will be the light of the world, amen? We're to salt the earth. We're here, we're to stand out and be different from the world. You see, the world is supposed to see us as different from they are. So we see what we once were, what God did and why He did it. And now we're going to see how He did it. How did He do it? How did He do that? Look, if you will, in chapter 2, verse number 8. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, for by grace you are what? Saved. Saved. For by grace you are saved. God did this through special favor for you and me. Special favor. That's grace. Unmerited favor. That's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. See, God did what He did for our favor. Our favor. You know, He did something for us that nobody else could ever do. He favored you. He favored those that would believe on Him and trust Him as their Savior. He favors us. Because now we're children of God. See, for by grace, He did it through special favor. That is grace. He did it that way. Not only did He do it through grace, but look at verse number 8 again. Verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is how God did it. He did it not only through special favor or grace, but He did it through faith. Through faith. I'm so thankful to know that accepting Christ as your Savior is by faith. It's not by what you know, but it's what you believe. It's what you trust. You trust God, the one that's able to save you and forgive you, you see. So it's all by faith. Faith. Faith, somebody defined it this way, forsaking all, I trust Him. I trust Christ as my Savior. I'm going to forsake the world, everything. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust Him for what I need in my life, you see. So it's faith. God did it. He did it through special favor. That is grace. He did it also through faith. Through faith. All we have to do is recognize that we're sinners and lost and undone and call upon Him in faith. And what does He do? He saves us. He saves us, see? That's the end. That's the end as far as salvation is concerned. How we get saved. It's by grace through faith. But notice also, down in verse number 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye, that's us, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the what? Blood of Christ. See, it's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we can be saved, and we can be saved by grace through faith. If Christ had not given His life and blood for us, well, there'd be no faith, there'd be no grace. Therefore, there'd be no salvation. It's all together, you see. It's a package deal, if you want to call it that way. I'm not doing that disrespectful, but it's all together. It's all together. It's grace and faith and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that enables us to be who we are today. I'm thankful I'm not what I used to be. I'm thankful I'm not what I used to be. I know I'm not what I ought to be. But by God's grace, maybe gradually He can show me and help me to be more like Him every day of my life, you see. So we see what God did, why He did it, and how He did it for you and I. What we once were, we were sinners. We once were sinners. What God did, He loved us. He liberated us. He lifted us up. We see why He did it, that we might display be trophies of His grace. People will understand that we're saved and recognize that God can save somebody if they call upon Him. And then we see that how God did it through His favor, that His grace, through faith, and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid a sacrifice for mankind that we just don't know, we can't imagine what it was, what He went through for you and I, folks. He died for you and I. He shed His blood. Because of all these things, we see what we are now. Because of what God has done, what we are today, what we are now in Christ Jesus as a believer. Again, we're no longer dead in sin. We're no longer influenced by Satan and controlled by the lust of the flesh and all these things and under God's wrath and separated from God and without hope in this present world. We're no longer like that. And thank God it's all because of Him, all because of what He's done for us. But what are we now? What are we now? Look at verse number 14. Verse 14 tells us what we are now. We see, first of all, verse number 10. The Bible says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." What we are now? We're workmen. We are now, we are the products of God's grace. The products of God's grace. And what is that? We have been created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Good works. We've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Things that we should do or should be good in our life. Why? Because that was planned before the foundation of the world. In the last part of verse number 10 says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them as good works. God planned that. That was God's design, that we walk in good works after we are saved. See, we're the product of God's grace. Product of God's grace. We're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. In other words, we are to ask God to work through us His plan, His purpose in this life He gives us. It's God working through us and in us. It's not what I do. It's what God wants to do through us and what we allow Him to do with our life as we go through this life. Now, look at verse number 14 as we continue to look at what we are now. First of all, we're the product of God's grace. And number two, we're the partners of Israel and the rest of the world. Look at verse 14. For He is our peace, the Bible says, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. We see here, first of all, we see that we are the people of God. We see also here today, as we look at this, God has joined together both Jew and Gentile. Both Jew and Gentile here, a new person. Both Jews and Gentiles in Christ Jesus. How does the Jew get saved? Just like a Gentile. How does a Gentile get saved? Just like a Jew. Putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as their Savior, you see. He's broken all that down. He's broken all that down for us, we see here. Now, let's continue in verse 16. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Jew and Gentile have access to the Father by one through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. We see here what we are now. We see in verse number 19 who we are. Now therefore, if ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now we are who? We are the people of God. The people of God. I'm glad to know that I'm a child of God, aren't you? I'm glad I know that He is my Savior. I'm glad to know this. And we see later on in verses 20 through 22, we are the pillars of the temple. The pillars of the temple. We see the foundation. We see the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. And we see us as God's people functioning in verse number 22, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We see here today the lost person. We see what God did. We see why he did it. We see how he did it. And you and I have had the opportunity to become children of God because of what God's done. I'm no longer what I used to be. You are not either. We're children of God because of his love, because of his mercy. I thank God today for this reminding us, folks, again, look back where we came from. Look at what we were in verses 1 through 3, in verses 11 and 12. May God help us understand. We've got down that world. There's people out there just like that. Just like that. Just like we used to be. And we are what we are because of the mercy and grace of God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to be reminded sometimes of where you brought us from or what we used to be. And Lord, it's all because of your mercy and your grace that we are where we are today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for this body of believers here today. Now, Lord, I pray, Lord, you will continue to bless your words that goes forth. May each one be encouraged. And if there's one here lost today, I pray they might be saved. And thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.